I'm Bill White. I became head of this school, which was my first headship, in 1972, and being the last head of the school because I was appointed until the school should close, because that was already the plan. I had 4.5 very, very, very happy years here. We all knew that the school was going to close, and in 1972 the idea was that it was going to close because of lack of pupils. By the time they closed us down, they had to justify it by saying that we hadn't got room to accommodate the pupils who wanted to come to us. We had an absolutely wonderful atmosphere. The children enjoyed it. We've got all levels of ability here. We had a wonderful support from the parents and friends of the school. We actually called it PTA in those days. We used to have a lot of activities that were associated with the school in and out of school hours, and I've got some rich and varied memories to share with you about that. I'd like to talk to you in a few moments about the Christmas party, which is one of the things that sticks in my mind. But before then, the swimming pool, I think, is something which I'd like to mention, which was a wonderful thing for a little school of this size to have. It was a small swimming pool, and it was in the grounds of the cottage next door. And the thing that we did was, when I was here, with parental help and using the expertise of an electrician who was one of our parents, we actually put electric heating into it, which we conserved overnight with an insulating blanket so that we shouldn't waste electricity. And also in those days we had a sort of solar heating addition to that, by the fact that we had tremendously long length of black hose pipe which was linking in the water system, so we used a minimal amount of electricity to actually raise the temperature of the water of the pool. And the pool was used extensively, not just by the children in the school, but also by mums on certain afternoons. And I remember one little boy looking at his mum, who was appearing for the first time in front of him in her voluminous swimsuit, because she was a very, very large lady, and he looked at her standing there in all her glory, and he said to her, "Oh mum, you do look gorgeous, you look lovely, just like a fish." Oh, we had some very, very happy memories there. Country dancing on the playground, around us on the school field that was we were allowed to use by kindness of our next door neighbours. And pottery. We used to have outdoor pottery on the arrival of Phil and Maggie Cook, that was, with their family. Maggie used to help us with pottery, and she used to take films of activities around the school. And I think there's one of the masterpieces that she did was an actual seasons of the school, the four seasons. And that can be seen with the accompanying music of the Vivaldi to Vivaldi's Four Seasons, to actually show what life was like in different times of year with the school. And of course the school followed very closely with the seasons of the church, and we used the church in a very natural sort of way, because we were so close to the church that we used to take the children along and use the church as a hall, really, for the children. The children used to feel very, very at home in the church. And we used to do all sorts of arts and crafts activities there, drama and music. And I remember just one thing before I hand over to you to ask me some questions to prompt me to some other memories. I do remember on one particular occasion sitting there in the chancel with the percussion band that was going to be accompanying the particular festivities, hymns that later in the afternoon or that evening, I can't remember. But we were having this rehearsal, and I remember Molly sitting at the organ. She was our pianist, and she was taking the place of the resident organist for the on the occasion of the rehearsal. And she didn't normally play the organ and therefore was not used to the pedals. And I had just told all the children in the chancel that anybody who sounded their instrument at the wrong time, and anybody who bonged at the wrong time, or crash, tinkle, tinkle, crunch, or anything like that, would lose their instrument. Whereupon there was a very, very, very loud, deep bass emanating from the organ. Molly had put a hymn book down on one of the bass pedals, and the idea that she would lose her instrument by sounding it at the wrong time really appealed to the children at the time. Anyway, that's just one of the memories. Bill, you were going to ask me some questions.
You mentioned Christmas earlier. Was that a particular interesting time? As a church school, it was obviously
well, absolutely
sort of, important to the calendar.
Yes, definitely. And this time of the year, you know, sort of second half of November, we'd be in gear preparing our Christmas offerings in the church. We would have a church carol service and a presentation by the children, and it would be figuring very, very largely in our curriculum at all levels. The children would be involved in writing the presentation. The music would be all geared to Christmas renditions and a variety of Christmas music. And of course the art and craft would all be centred on Christmas as well. And I remember we actually made a whole range of things to put it on in as a display in the church, ranging from origami paper angels, you know, with the older children making some quite spectacular life-sized models to put in the church, paper embossed lettering, again using the origami skills, and of course a lot of maths and applied maths came into this, because you had to measure where these items were going to be displayed. And we also did a lot of paper mache. We made scenes with the younger children, doing a lot of painting and paper mache and other methods. And of course the children were also involved in some very intricate needlework, needle craft, which was part and parcel of the display. So we had a pretty wide-ranging display of arts and crafts in the church, and some of the work was actually done in the church in situ. As I say, the drama, the presentation, the drama, the actual writing of the presentation fulfilled a lot of literacy, which would be called literacy targets in this day and age. A lot of the function of the English that we used to teach, and the storytelling and the drama, and of course the music as well, which I've just referred to with the practicing, which we did with a variety of instruments. And of course we had a lot of a variety of instruments where the children came along with their recorders and other instruments, and we used to have a pretty widely varying sort of presentation, which was looked forward to, and which was a main event at Christmas time. Added to that, we actually had a wonderful Christmas party where the children used to bring their food. We had a Santa Claus visiting us, and everybody was involved. It was like a huge family, and the party started at about 2 o'clock in the afternoon and went right on until about half past six or so, thereabouts. And I do remember that at the end of the session, when the children were going home with their presents that had been donated by a very enthusiastic group of parents. We used to have Roy Reynolds, who was then the landlord of what was the name of the pub in those days, the Mason's Arms, now called the Riverside, and he came along. He'd got children in the school at the time, and he used to come along and take the packets of biscuits, cakes, and anything else that hadn't been eaten by the children who brought them for the party. You'd take them along to put behind the bar for disposal later in the evening with a special auction. And quite a lot of the parents and the teachers that had been involved and the helpers that had been involved with the party during the afternoon would come along and have a drink in the evening. And it was really quite amazing how much money he would make for school funds by auctioning off packets of biscuits and cakes and that sort of thing for very, very inflated sums of money, which was very commensurate with the amount of drinks that people had consumed during the evening. They became very, very generous and warm-hearted, and the whole occasion was a huge laugh from beginning to end.
Yes. Do you think the passing of a village school is such a bad thing, or in terms of the education of the children being better and more modern and what's called a better school? Do you think my children went?
I feel that we were giving the children an absolutely first-class education, because the thing is, it was all totally integrated, and the children were gaining a tremendous amount from the whole ethos of the school. Everything was interrelated. Everything was part of the project that we were doing. The village project would involve, you know, study of the village, geography, history, maths, and English, and we would be doing the humanities as well, with the arts and crafts and the music to go with it. So everything was all sort of joined together, and I don't think that anybody missed out. And I think the great thing was that children who did have certain special needs were able to be given extra help, and they were all able to be treated as separate individuals. And child-centeredness of it was really the most important thing, as far as I was concerned, because that was what I think it was education at its very, very best.
Yes, indeed.
And of course, the atmosphere, you know, the actual social interaction between the community and the school was second to none. So I feel that at the time we knew we were on borrowed time. And you know, we knew that the school would be closing at a particular time, but we were living for the moment. We were thoroughly enjoying it, and the school, I feel that the standards that we had at the time were very, very high indeed. And certainly subsequently, since I've met young people, and they're not so young now, people who were actually in the school at the time look back on those days, and they certainly feel that they had a good education at the time.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah. I do remember the rector of the parish, one Leslie Jones, who was a very friendly and wonderful rector, who was, you know, really felt passionately for the school. He used to love to come in, and he was rather like a typical portrayal of a vicar or a rector. He used to come in and he used to smoke a pipe, and he used to look benignly at the children and say, "Yes, oh yes, how nice to see everybody. Oh, it is very, very pleasant indeed." And he was, you know, really a very kind, popular and pleasant sort of person. And he used to sometimes go up to the top of the church tower and would wave to the children from the church, and suddenly you'd notice that all the children's attention was going past the teacher, and they'd be looking out through the window at the rector, who'd be balancing on the top of the church tower and waving. And he'd then subsequently come down, you know, still smoking his pipe, and pop into the school and have a chat with everybody. Used to tell stories in assembly about the Old Testament stories, the most lurid details of how people came to a sticky end, and he used to really quite relish some of the most upsetting stories that you read about in the Old Testament. He used to put them forward with such great gusto, and the children absolutely used to lap it up, and all in the same sort of tradition as the Grimm's fairy tales, you know. Yeah, he's a wonderful character, and I think that the, you know, that again, it's something which it's a past generation now, of course, as we all know, but even then it was sort of like living in the past, because it was sort of, it was like, we all appreciated what life used to be like before the 1970s, and it certainly wasn't typical of life in the 1970s, it was more like life in the 30s, I think, relationship that we had, and the village life. It was certainly, I've said before, we all realised that we were on borrowed time, and I think that was a manifestation of it. It was a wonderful, happy period of time, and everything seemed to make sense. Everything was in order, and you know, the sight of Leslie Jones, you know, putting his bicycle clips on and going off on his bike to visit the sick or whatever he was on about, you know, it was always, it was a very nice piece of village life, and it was a glimpse of what things used to be like.
Yes. Okay, thank you.